Hey, sister, what's happening in this season of your life? For many of us, if not most of us, in this messy middle, it's a season that brings transitions, changes, losses, times of reflection, and questions without easy answers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul reveals that he struggled with something in his life that he called a thorn in his flesh. In other words, it affected his real, everyday flesh and blood life. I can relate to that. How about you? Is there a thorn that is causing you pain right now? Something in your everyday life that you're struggling with that's keeping you stuck or making it difficult to move forward toward what you believe God wants for you in this season? God had an answer for Paul's thorn, and he has an answer for the thorns in our lives too. Spoiler alert, the answer is grace. But hold on, before you think you already know everything about grace, or that this is some kind of impractical answer that doesn't meet you in the nitty-gritty of what you're dealing with, join me as we get deep into the real meaning of grace and how it is the answer for the thorns in our life. Honestly, I can't wait to share this amazing truth with you. So come on, let's get into it.
Looking for something more in this middle season of life? Lie awake at night wondering what God wants you to do and how to hear His voice clearly? I see you, sister. We're in the messy middle. Hey, I'm Angie, midlife mentor and missionary. I was busy chasing all the things when one day I woke up in the middle, and it didn't look at all like I expected. I realized my faith was too flimsy to handle all the stuff midlife was throwing at me, and I wanted to serve God with my gifts, but I just couldn't get any traction until God pulled me out of the mess and put my feet on the path to a life of peace and purpose right here in the middle. In this podcast, you'll discover the next steps God has for you in this season, new ways to go deeper than ever before with Jesus, and biblical tools to walk this journey with more of everything God wants for you. You ready? Come on, we're not sleeping anyway, so pop in those earbuds and let's talk.
Today we are talking about thorns and grace. Several years ago, I found myself becoming a caregiver for family members. And I've talked about this before. Many of you know this is something that I never imagined myself doing. And family and friends who were very close to me could also testify that they would have never seen me as a person who would be a family caregiver. But that is exactly where I found myself. And especially at the beginning of dealing with this change, this transition in my life, this new role in my life, the constant demands, the interruptions were just overwhelming to me. I often felt like my life was no longer my own. It seemed many times impossible to do everything that needed to be done. And I just felt completely consumed by what I was dealing with. I had always been a person who had been able to multitask, organize, manage, accomplish, you know, achieve at the end of the day and feel like I've got it all done. It's all in order. But now that was no longer the case. And certainly in this midlife season, I was realizing my limitations. Just my physical limitations of energy, of my mental, psychological ability to deal with everything. But there was something more for me that was in the depths of my spirit about this whole situation. After so many years that I spent running away from God and rejecting His call on my life, just wanting to do my own thing, I was finally on track. I was growing in my relationship with God. And even though the whole picture was not crystal clear, I could see God leading me toward a ministry, the ministry that I had always been called to, but that I had rejected for so many years. And I was excited about that. But now, suddenly, in these circumstances with the caregiving, it seemed like the caregiving was threatening to derail everything that I thought was God's plan for me. All the mundane daily tasks that are necessary to care for family members who are struggling with chronic illnesses, it took all my time and energy. I really saw no way that I could fulfill the ministry that I believed God was leading me to. And that ministry is where, you know, that was the passion of my heart. So within me, there was this struggle to accept what I was being required to do by the necessity of the situation. And what I also felt that God, you know, was calling me to, what was truly my passion, but it just seemed impossible to be able to do it. I argued with God about the caregiving, you know, like surely this was not his idea of the purpose for my life, because it definitely was not mine. Sister, this was the thorn in my flesh. And to be honest, it still is. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul tells his story about a thorn in his flesh that was causing him tremendous pain. And here's the thing about thorns. They're painful because they cut into our real flesh and blood everyday life. So what was this thorn that Paul mentions? Well, we don't know for sure. Many scholars believe it was a physical issue. Whatever it was something that made it a struggle for Paul in his day-to-day life. And that made it especially difficult for him to carry out the ministry that God had given him to do. Sounds a lot like my thorn, doesn't it? We live in a world with thorns. They may show up as a chronic illness, a physical disability, an addiction, a depression diagnosis, or an anxiety disorder, even a trauma experience. Thorns can be like my story, circumstances that I didn't choose for myself, or relationships or disappointments that are hard to bear. Thorns in our lives take many, many forms. They hurt because they are in our flesh. That is, they penetrate to our deepest selves. And even when, from appearances, something may seem like it's a tiny thorn, just a little sliver, that little sliver can be extremely painful. Think of how a tiny sliver festers under our skin. We feel it every time something touches it, and all we want to do is remove that little thorn so we don't feel it anymore. In the same way, a conversation, memories, circumstances touch the thorn in our lives, and we feel it. We know it's there, it's painful, and we just want it gone. Well, Paul's thorn was no different. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, Paul says he pleaded with God three different times to remove the painful thorn that was causing his suffering. Who does not want to stop the pain, right? And for Paul, the obvious answer was for God to remove the thorn, escape from the thorn. And I think that's usually our idea of the obvious answer also. God, remove this thorn. Interestingly, Paul says that God did answer his prayer, but not by removing the thorn. Instead, in verse 9, God tells Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power comes to full strength in weakness." God's answer for Paul was grace, and God's answer for me with my thorn in the flesh has been grace. So I wonder, sister, whatever thorn you may be dealing with in your life, do you think of grace as the answer you need? What exactly is this grace that God said was all that Paul needed, that was sufficient for him? Let's look closer. First, a bit of background on grace. In the Old Testament, most of the time when the Hebrew word is translated as grace, it carries the idea of goodwill or favor or being acceptable. In Exodus 33, we have a perfect example of this. Moses is speaking with God on the mountain, and God tells Moses that he has found grace in God's eyes. Moses has God's favor or goodwill. Moses is acceptable before God. In talking about grace, I think this is the understanding that most people have. You may hear definitions such as grace is God's unmerited favor, right? And it is. But is this the meaning of grace that God said was sufficient for Paul? It was all Paul needed to deal with his painful thorn? How would that grace, that favor, be sufficient for Paul to deal with a very real, very painful thorn in his life? Sister, here is where it gets exciting. There is something so much more about God's grace to understand and to experience. So let's keep digging. Staying right here in Exodus 33 with Moses, Moses says to God, "If I have your grace or favor, I want you to show me your glory." Moses wants to see God's glory, and God says, "Okay, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name in your presence." In other words, God's glory is his goodness. It's the beauty of his character. And when, a little later, in Exodus 34, verse 6, God does show himself to Moses, God covers Moses with his hand to protect him. He puts Moses in a protected place in the cleft of a rock, and God's character or glory is revealed with the proclamation, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. The word for gracious in this verse, kanun, in the Hebrew, is a special word because it is only used as an attribute of God's character. It's a particular kind of graciousness. It's God's graciousness in his very character. In the Bible, many adjectives describe God like gracious. There are metaphors and similes, such as God is my rock, or God is like a hen that protects her chicks under her wings. But there's only one noun that defines God. This noun, this is who God is. In 1 John 4:8, God is love. It makes sense then that if God is love, all the other adjectives and descriptives in the Bible for God are actually describing God's character of authentic, holy, perfect love. They are describing what God's love looks like, what it acts like. God's graciousness is then an aspect or an expression of God's nature of love. What I'm getting at, sister, is that grace is not something outside of God. It's not like a thing that God gives to us, you know, that's outside of himself. Rather, grace is a specific, particular expression of God's very nature of love. Logically, the next question we have to ask ourselves is, what does that specific, particular expression of God's love look like that the New Testament especially calls grace? For a clue, let's go back to our 2 Corinthians 12 with Paul and his thorn. God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for, or because, my power comes to full strength or is made perfect in weakness." God's grace is equated to God's power here in this verse. Grace as power? Yes. As an aspect of God's nature of perfect love, his grace is expressed as all-providing power. All-providing power. Let's unpack this a little further. Stay with me. Wherever there is a need, a weakness, anything that is less than whole, less than complete or perfect like he is, God's nature of love responds. How? With grace, which is God's action to meet the need, to empower the powerless, to restore the relationship, to repair the breach, to give sight to the blind, to free what is captive, to resurrect what is dead. God's all-providing power. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. The grace of God has appeared in Jesus." God is graciously acting in this, right? Giving himself in his son to meet our impossible need. That is grace. It's not just an attitude of favor. Grace is powerful action that provides whatever is needed. So having provided salvation by grace for us, Paul says in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Sister, we now stand in grace. And this word in Greek for stand is an upright standing. We're on our feet. It is an active position of strength. And don't miss this. Our reality and our inheritance in Jesus is that we are standing in grace. We are abiding in it. Yes, it is a place of favor, but it is favor that acts. It is favor that is love in action. Standing in grace is standing in the place of power from which we live and we move, lacking nothing, perfectly complete in God's all-providing, powerful grace. So the question is, what do you need his grace to provide for you today? Paul wanted God to take the painful thorn out of his life. And I have found myself in Paul's place, maybe you have too, asking God to remove the thorn. But God said, my grace is sufficient. Now, can we wrap our heads and our hearts around this? Because God's grace is sufficient, we can never experience a weakness that God is not already providing abundant grace to strengthen. We can never have a need that God is not already providing abundant grace to fill. God said his power is made perfect. It comes to full strength. It rises up and is fully revealed in Paul's, in my, and your weakness. This is amazing. The meaning of the Greek here tells us that God's grace, his providing power, is actually inspired. It's actually activated, we could say, by our need, by our powerlessness. Now, think about this. Grace is the way God's love is expressed in response to weakness, need, emptiness, failure, sin, anything less than perfect holiness and wholeness activates God's love through graciousness, this expression of gracious power that provides whatever we need. This is who God is. No wonder Paul responded to this revelation of God's graciousness by saying, well then, I will boast most gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may reside in me. Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong, because that's when the power of Christ that is grace is activated. It comes and fills us. It is the life of God, which is love in action, providing in abundance whatever is needed. My very weakness is now my greatest strength through God's powerful grace. For Paul, God's answer was grace. The thorn was still there, but its power to inflict pain had been overwhelmed by the power of God's healing grace living in Paul. And sister, how do we receive this grace that is God's all-providing power? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul tells the Corinthians, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. And then he quotes God's words through the prophet Isaiah. For he, God, says, in the time of my favor, my grace, right? In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. Then Paul says, I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Sister, grace is yours now. Now is the day of salvation for whatever thorn you are dealing with. Not later, not tomorrow, not when you're good enough, not when you have time to pray enough, none of that. Now is the time of God's grace. Right now, in this moment, in whatever moment you need His providing power. In Hebrews 4, chapter 16, Scripture says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Again, it's now in our time of need. We are privileged to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, to receive grace, draw on the grace that God is already providing for you. Let His life fill you by the Holy Spirit. We do this through all of the spiritual disciplines. They open us to be able to receive God's grace, to draw on God's grace in our time of need. Prayer especially is how we draw on the grace of God. Sister, pray in your time of need and take God's grace. Receive it by faith now. Now is the day of salvation. We still live with the reality of thorns that came into this world with sin. But God's victorious, overwhelming grace in Jesus is our assurance that thorns will not always be. They will not be forever. And even now, although we do still live in a world with thorns, it's here in the middle of the thorns that we learn to realize the power of God's grace and to draw on that grace, to receive it and live in it, standing in the power of grace. God does not deny our pain. He knows the thorn you are dealing with. He knows where you hurt. But the thorn in your flesh does not have the final word. Jesus wore a crown of thorns to make it possible for us to stand in His grace. His abundant, all-providing power lives within us and overcomes every thorn. Amen. I pray this episode blesses you and inspires you to seek God's grace in a deeper way. If you are struggling with a thorn and want to discover and experience more of God's power of grace in your life, contact me directly for spiritual growth mentoring, especially for women who are in the messy middle season. You can also join our Realize More with God Facebook group. We are just a small group of ladies, but it's a great place to find encouragement and support. Maybe post a question or engage in a conversation. I will put my contact information and the Facebook group links in the show notes. Until next time, sister, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Real quick before you go, if this podcast blessed you in some way, I would so appreciate it if you would share it with another sister in the middle. And the number one way you can bless me is to leave a written review for the show over on Apple Podcasts. I read each review and love knowing what's touched you, and I get inspired hearing from you. You can also send me a DM and let me know how I can pray for you, or give me an idea of what you would like me to talk about on the show. I'll meet you back here same time next week. Until then, walk in God's grace and peace.